All right. My name is Darren. It's really good to be with you all, and it's good to see you. If you're a guest, welcome. Can you pull out your Bibles? You've got Bibles there behind you. We're going to look at Joshua chapter 23. While you're doing that, I have a question for you. Do you know anyone who likes to put a little bit too much of the side on top of their main? Do you know what I'm talking about? It's like, you know, you see them doing it, you're like, whoa, have some fish and chips with your vinegar. Go easy on the sauce. Do you know someone like that? It's always somebody else, right? It's never you. It's someone else, right? Like, hey, too much, you got a little too much sugar there with your coffee. So it's like, have a little coffee with your sugar. You know someone like that? Have a little salad with your salad cream. You know what I'm talking about? All right, true confessions, you know, what are they? Don't share now. We'll have a time afterwards for healing prayer. As humans, we can so easily forget to keep the main thing the main thing. Isn't that true? We're often distracted by a good thing in lieu of the better. And we kind of make the good thing the enemy of the better. And that can be true in our spiritual lives too. You know, we often will want the blessing and forget the blesser. You know, we want the spiritual inheritance, but we forget who it is that gives it. And that's precisely the moment that Israel's facing in Joshua chapter 23. And Joshua knows it. You know, years have passed. We'll look at this as we get into the text. And Joshua is now an old man, and he's beginning to think about what his legacy is going to be after he dies. He's beginning to think, I've got one final message to give to my people. And he's thinking, you know, beyond me, who's going to take over? I mean, the days for Israel are a little bit uncertain. It's a little bit like our headlines read right now today. You know, who's going to lead the way forward for us here in England? What are things going to be like? There's doubt and uncertainty about the future. And Joshua speaks to some of that as he gathers his elders and his leaders together in Joshua chapter 23. And he wants to speak to this and leave his legacy. It's kind of like famous last words. I've been thinking a lot about famous last words. And so Joshua, as he moves forward, he wants to remind people of the main thing and for them to not be distracted by anything or to go backwards at all. Let's talk about famous last words really quick. Are you ready for a quiz? You ready for a Sunday midday quiz? Whose famous last words were, "I'm bored with it all"? Can you guess? Anybody know? Churchill. Winston Churchill. I should have had prizes, but that would take way too long to hand out. Winston Churchill. Whose famous last words were, "Oh, wow, oh, wow, oh, wow"? That's probably several people, but this one is a famous inventor. Steve Jobs. Founder of Apple. Yes, thank you. That's good. All right, this one might be a little challenging. Filmmaker. I'll give you the category. One never knows the ending. Very appropriate for a filmmaker. He said more, but I won't tell you the end of the quote. Hitchcock, that's right. Alfred Hitchcock. Very good. Well done. Someone's got the notes back there. Okay, here's another good one. This one is very good at predicting things. Tomorrow, this person says, at sunrise, I shall no longer be here. And they ended up being right. Of course, it was Nostradamus, right? Okay, now this person hasn't died, but I can imagine the famous last words of this person being, "Don't do drugs, don't reheat rice." Do you know who it is? She's not here today, but Jenny, our youth worker. Famous last words. Do you know why? Because she says it every time she says goodbye to the young people. Don't do drugs and don't reheat rice. So this is probably going to be the way that she goes out. All right, where we left off last week, looking at the text, you might say, wait, did I miss a few weeks? You know, we were in Joshua 10 last week. Why are we in Joshua 23? What we have next in this series is a whole movement of God's army into Israel, taking over the promised land, winning victory after victory as they take claim of their inheritance that God's promised to them. So we're fast forwarding quite a bit over chapters 11 to 22. And in case you ever get the chance to read it, you might want to read through it on your own. We're going to move forward to the bit at the end. And they do this. Part of what you see as you read through is really just episode after episode of taking the land. And they realize there's actually more to do. And then also there's a big section of just lists of God's faithfulness as they divide up the land and give it to the different tribes. So part of what we're skipping over is just case after case, detail after detail, description after description of God's people taking and allotting God's inheritance to them. In fact, that's really 80% of the book of Joshua is just tells this whole story, and it all kind of boils down to one theme. God is faithful to his promises. That's what all of chapters 1 all the way up to really 21, 22 point to. Detail after detail, God is faithful to his promises, and it leads us to this big moment at the end of the book where Joshua steps up and he says, here is my final word. I want to remind Israel, my people, before I go, who will lead? And here's his answer. Let's look at the text together. After a long time had passed, probably 25 years after they've carved up the different pieces of the promised land and they recognize there's more to go, verse 1, the Lord had given Israel rest from all their enemies around them. Joshua, by then a very old man, we're guessing probably about 110 at this point, summoned all of Israel, their elders, their leaders, their judges and officials, and he said to them, I am very old. Love how he states the obvious, kind of opens with a big one-liner. I am very old, but you yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. You yourselves have seen everything that the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. These are the people who haven't just read Joshua chapter 11 to 21. They've lived it. And he says, don't take my word for it. I'm old. But you yourselves have seen this. And so here's how he moves forward. He says, you've seen everything the Lord your God has done to all the nations for your sake. Notice that it's for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you. And we've celebrated that week after week. As we've told the stories in this series, we've said it's been God who's won the battles. So remember, he says, verse 4. This is on page 228. Verse 4. Remember. And this really kind of translates as see here. Not just remember, as in recall, but take a look. Check it out. This is what he's saying. See right here how I, Joshua, have allotted as an inheritance for your tribes all the lands of the nations that remained, the nations that I conquered between the Jordan and the Mediterranean Sea in the west. That's what we have done here. And who did it? Verse 5, the Lord your God himself will push them out for your sake. Again, that phrase, for your sake. He will drive them out before you, and you will take possession of their land as the Lord your God promised you. Joshua's call to his people as he steps forward and he gives his final farewell address. You know, he gets the primetime spot. They're streaming it on YouTube. He's got one message left in him, and what is it? It's remember that God is faithful to his promises. Remember that God's faithful to his promises. Do you have a habit of remembering? Do you do this very much? Do you? In your faithfulness, do you respond to God's faithfulness as a choice, as a regular, deliberate habit to celebrate God's goodness in your life? This can be one of the most life-giving, God-honoring things that you can do. This is a practice, and we need to not skip by this here now to say, hey, Joshua reminds his people to keep the main thing, and that is that God is faithful. You know, I have a... It just kind of started up with this kind of a short-term Bible study that I'm doing with a few guys that have come out of the Growth Night Shelter once a week, and there's a couple of us here that do this together, and we start every meeting, before we get into anything else, we say, what's one thing from the past week that you are thankful for, that we can celebrate? And it could be a big thing or a small thing, but it starts with remembering God is faithful to his promises. So we go around the table, and it's always encouraging to hear what people are grateful for and what they're thankful for. I know another family that just has up on their wall in their home, kind of on a big piece of butcher paper that they replace every now and then, the praises that they've given to God for the answers to prayer that they've seen in their family's life. And it's just kind of this wall of testimony and remembering and celebrating God's goodness. It builds up faith. And that's what Joshua wants to do with his people. He says, remember everything that the Lord your God has done. He says, I'm old, but before you feel anxious or worried about what happens next, I want to give you your successor. And your successor isn't necessarily a person. It's this remembrance that God is faithful. We can trust, what is it? The law of God that I received from Moses. This is what Joshua says next. We can trust the law of God, and we can trust that God is faithful. So look at verse 6. Be very strong, he encourages them. Let's listen for the do's and the don'ts that are in the next section here. Be very strong. Be careful to obey all that's written in the book of the law of Moses without turning aside to the right or to the left. Notice what he passes on. What does Joshua pass on? He passes on nothing new. It's what he received from Moses, the law that's from the book of Moses. And he also passes on, if it sounds familiar, it's because it should. It's straight, it almost sounds exactly like the promise right at the beginning of chapter 1 of Joshua. Let's get that up on the screen. Joshua chapter 1, verse 7. This is what the Lord says to Joshua, and it's what Joshua passes on to his people. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. So what does he pass on? He passes on the book of the law of Moses. He says, be careful to obey it, and he passes on exactly what he heard from the Lord at the beginning of the story. He says, this is my legacy. This is what I want to pass on to you. So do, be strong, and be careful to obey. What does that mean, to be careful to obey? You know, not casual, but careful obedience. That means that you're intentional. That means you're deliberate. When I think about what it means to be careful to obey a law, it means, number one, I'm familiar with the law. You know, if I want to drive in the UK, I need to learn what the UK driving rules are. That means I need to be familiar with it. I've got to study the book before I go take the driving test. To be careful to obey means to be familiar with what it says. Number two, it means I need to be aware of what I'm doing. If I want to be careful to obey, I can't just be casual or careless about it. I need to be aware of what I'm doing, and that means my underlining attitudes and actions. I'm talking about what it means to be careful to obey. And then number three, I need to let the rules govern my decisions, big and small. About this kind of gets into the area of my will. What is my will? How is it shaped? It affects my decisions, big and small. Being careful to obey means being consistent over time. Not just in this one moment, but in moment after moment over time. So the writer of Hebrews describes it this way, and it's in Hebrews chapter 6. We've got this up on the screen. Even though we speak like this, dear friends, we're convinced of better things in your case, things that have to do with salvation. They write, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. Did you hear that? Diligence, careful obedience. And how do we do this? We don't want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Faith and patience. Careful obedience means faith lived out over a long stretch of time. It's faith that's lived out in patience. So Joshua says, do be strong, be careful to obey. And then he says, don't. What is it? Don't turn aside to the right or to the left. Be focused. Don't be distracted. Keep the main thing the main thing. And then he goes on, verse 7. Don't associate with the things, the nations. Don't associate with these nations that remain among you. Do not invoke the names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them, but you are to hold fast to the Lord your God, as you have until now. He says, in order to be carefully obedient and be strong, you need to also avoid the things that are going to drag you down. And you know what I'm talking about. Each one of us has those things that we know that if we associate with them, whether it's people or the media that we consume, the idols of our culture that kind of pull at us, if we're not careful, we're tempted to call on them, to bow down to them, to serve them, right? The thing that we run to when we find times of trouble. What are the things that are in your life? Who are the people that you know are not a great thing for you to be associating with? Our culture's idolatry of money, of pleasure, of popularity, of power. Joshua reminds his people, don't associate with these things. You must not serve them or bow down to them. And in case that leaves you feeling like, well, gosh, if I don't associate with these people, who will I have? What do I do? How do I go on? Won't I be alone and isolated? No, he says, hold fast. This is verse 8. Hold fast to the Lord your God, as you have until now. So you get the what. What are we supposed to do as Joshua speaks to his people and Joshua speaks to us now? Hold fast to the Lord your God, as you have until now. Why? Verse 9, just a reminder of God's faithfulness again. The Lord has driven out before you, great and powerful nations to this day. No one has been able to withstand you. One of you routs 1,000 because the Lord your God fights for you, just as he promised. So be very careful. There's that phrase again. Very careful to love the Lord your God. That's the summary statement in verse 11. Be careful to love the Lord your God. What does it mean to be careful to love? We talked about careful obedience. What does careful instead of careless love look like? You know, I watched a mother with a one-year-old child on her lap this week feed the baby spoonful by spoonful of solid food, kind of almost for the first time. And you know how you're always kind of worried, well, maybe you don't know, but you're worried that the temperature of the food might be too hot for the baby. And so I saw this mother just sort of bite by bite, sort of dip the spoon to her wrist to kind of test and see if it was too hot before she gave each bite to the baby. That's careful love, isn't it? I'm always cautious to tell a story where I'm made out to be the hero, especially when my wife is not in the room. But this week I tried to do something that wasn't just careless love of my wife, but careful love of my wife. So I made the bed. And I thought, this is nice, but I can do better. So I went downstairs, cut a rose off the front garden, went back upstairs, put it on her pillow. I thought, oh, this is really great. Then I thought, oh, you know, she likes chocolate. I'll put some chocolate on her pillow. This is careful love. Now, I have to admit here that half the chocolate bar had been eaten by the person speaking, but the wrapper really made it look like it was one big piece of chocolate, and the rose was very beautiful. Careful love rather than careless love. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. What does careful love look like in your life? And I don't just mean romantic love or love that a parent has for a child, but fidelity, choosing what you look at, where you spend your time, what you invest in. So Joshua says, don't forget, the law of Moses, it includes this sort of summary statement that's rooted in love. This is where we get this straight from the book of Moses. Deuteronomy and Leviticus say, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And the book of Leviticus adds, love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus affirms this ethic of love, when he says in the Gospel of Luke, do this and you shall live. This is the way to have life. This is the way to love God. It's to love carefully. And so when Jesus gives his farewell speech, one of them to his disciples, he's got a few, but one of his last statements to his disciples is all about love and keeping God's commands. It's from John chapter 15. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. That's careful, diligent, intentional love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that your joy may be, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command. Notice what the purpose is. It's for your joy to be made complete. It's what the final farewell speech of Joshua is. So that it will go well with you in the land, so that you can flourish and continue to live, love the Lord your God and be careful to love. So that's part one. Verses 1 through 11, God is faithful to his promises. But, and there is a big but in this passage, which is chapter 23, verse 12. But if you turn away and ally yourselves with the survivors of these nations, that word ally, by the way, in the original, it's actually the same word as hold fast. I love that, right? So we just talked about what it means to hold fast to the Lord. It says, actually, if you turn away and you hold fast and align yourselves with the survivors of these nations that remain among you, and if you intermarry with them and associate with them, then you may be sure, just as sure as you were of God's faithfulness to his promises, that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you. Instead, they will become snares and traps for you, until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. So the promises turn into a warning, and they're both firmly fixed in God's faithfulness. Just as sure as he is to his promises to bless and to drive out the enemies, he will also be sure to cease the conquering of the land. And also, why are these promises? You know, why include this in his final message? It's because there's a grave danger to the people of Israel. These things, these people, they're gods. They can become snares to you. They can become traps to you. You guys, watch out, is what he says. These can bring about your peril. So instead of it being about your flourishing, it brings your death and destruction. Later on it says, they can be, right here we just read, it can be whips on your back and thorns in your eyes. These things can cause pain. They can take away your ability to see straight. And so our response, it can be, okay, well, you know, God, this all sounds good when God's on my side and fighting my battles, but isn't it interesting that we want to celebrate that? Then we get caught up in the traps and we feel the whips on our backs and we want to turn back against God and say, why is this happening? Where are you? And here it is, God saying through Joshua, if you turn away, if you associate with these things, if you fail to keep your faithfulness, this is what happens. Verse 14. Joshua continues, now I'm about to go the way of all the earth. And you know with all your heart and your soul that not one of all the good promises of the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. What an amazing thing for a leader to be able to pass on to his people. The assurance and the knowledge that every promise of God has stood firm. That not one of them has failed. And he doesn't just say, I know it. He says, you know. You know it with your heart and with your soul that not one of these promises has failed. The writer of Romans puts it like this. For those of us who would say, I don't know if you know my situation. You don't understand. I'm still waiting for God to show his promises. I want to encourage you that we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purposes. That's Romans chapter 8, verse 28. So how does this work? It's because he's given you Jesus Christ, the best promise of all. He's given us Jesus Christ, who's the fulfillment of every Old Testament promise possible. It's Jesus. So Romans says, we know all things work together for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purposes. The best thing to pass on to the next generation, the best thing, the best promise that a leader can give to his people is the assurance that God will be faithful. But, and verse 15 has it again, but just as all these good things the Lord your God has promised you have come to you, just as sure as we can count on these things, so he will bring on you all the evil things he has threatened. Until the Lord your God has destroyed you from this good land he has given you. So part one, God is faithful. Part two, there are consequences. And in God's faithfulness, the result of our sin, the result of his wrath, will be judgment. Until the Lord your God has destroyed you from this good land he's given you. If you violate the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and if you go and serve other gods and bow down to them, the Lord's anger will burn against you, and you will quickly perish from the good land he's given you. His faithfulness to his promises are a double-edged sword. So one of the commentators that I read in preparation for this has this great quote. I'll just read it to you because I think it's worth looking at. After verse 14, we're ready to stand and sing in our finest devotional mood, great is thy faithfulness. Isn't that true? But before we can strike the chord, Joshua preaches to us that Yahweh's faithfulness is a two-edged sword, that he's faithful both in grace and in judgment. Yahweh's fidelity is not displayed just in covenant blessing, but in covenant judgment as well, by which he testifies that he has not let go of his people, but pursues them even in their sins. We don't have time to get into it this morning, but we will get to it later in the year when we do kind of the second half of the Joshua story, which spills into the book of Judges. And I can tell you, friends, it doesn't end incredibly well. In Judges, just a couple of chapters later, just a generation beyond this one, just 30 or 40 years after Joshua says these words, we get this. Look at Judges chapter 2. It's on the screen behind me. When Joshua dies at the age of 110, They bury him in his land, the land of his inheritance. And after that, the whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, and another generation grew up, who neither knew the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and they served the Baals. They forsook the Lord, the God of their ancestors, who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshipped various gods of the peoples around them. So fast forward to from that generation to ours. What would people say about our generation today? My friends, the good news for us is that we've been given the promise of Jesus. He's better than the land that we could get for an inheritance. He's better than any military victory. He's better than the rest that we would get from our enemies. All of the story points to Jesus, who is our salvation. That's the whole testimony of Scripture. And the question is, where do we find ourselves in this story? We are a people who, apart from faith in Jesus, would be like that generation after Joshua, who neither knew the Lord nor what he has done. We would be like that, apart from Jesus. The work of Jesus on the cross is the work of faithful obedience to the law on our behalf. It's something that we couldn't accomplish on our own. We can try to be faithful, and we can be careful in faithfulness, but it's this amazing grace accomplished by Jesus that fulfills it for us. That is the good news. That's the gospel that we share. So because of Jesus, we're no longer under the law. Because of Jesus, he fulfills our end of the bargain. So the writer of Romans says it like this, and I know I'm throwing a lot of scripture at you, but I want you to be able to read Joshua 23 and the whole story of scripture. Romans chapter 7 says, "My brothers and sisters, you died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. For when we were controlled by our sinful nature, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in us, so that we bore fruit for death. But now, by dying to what once bound us, we've been released from the law so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code." All of the scripture points to the promises that are fulfilled in Jesus. Jesus is our salvation. That's what the name Joshua means. God is our salvation. So if you're here today and you haven't put your trust in Jesus for your salvation, my friend, let me invite you to take that simple step of faith. It's the first step in a series of faithful obedience in response to God's faithfulness to you. He pursues you both in his faithfulness and blessing, and also pursues you in your own sin. God is beginning a new work in you, and Scripture tells us that he'll be faithful to complete it. There's another element of Jesus as he really fulfills everything that Joshua points to in this scripture, and that is that he passes on the same news to his believers. He says, where Joshua says, "I'm dying and I'm going the way of the earth," Jesus comes back to life. He's raised to new life. Where Joshua says, "I'm going away, you know, I'm going the way everything in the world does, all of us die," Jesus says, "I'm going and I'm preparing a place for you, and I'll come back again." And then he commissions and sends out his followers. Jesus, he says, "Go and make disciples of all nations. Share this good news," he says, "baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." And what else? "Teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you." This is Jesus culminating the last farewell address from Joshua and Jesus as he commissions his leaders. And he says, "Teach them to obey everything I've commanded, and I'm with you always." So, what do we do? What do we do in response? How do we respond to God's good faithfulness with our own faithfulness to what he's called us to? Let me encourage you, even just this week, maybe this is for you. Start a new habit of just remembering and celebrating God's faithfulness to you in your life. Write it down. Share it with someone else to encourage them. Just that daily habit of how has God been faithful to me in my day, in this week. And then I have a question for you. What would it look like in your life, starting this week, if you were careful to obey? How would that affect your choices that you make with your time and with your money and with your attention? What changes would take place if you made a careful, loving review of the people that you hang out with, of the media that you consume, the messages that you listen to in our culture today? And what would it look like? What would it look like for us as Good Shepherd Mission if we were careful and intentional about loving God without distraction? It's the first line of our vision statement, loving Jesus. What would it look like if we began to do that with intentionality? Maybe there's another response for you today, which is the deliberate attempt like Joshua to pass it on. And this is a great word for fathers on Father's Day and for mothers too. And for all of us responsible for passing on God's truth to the next generation, how can we pass this message on to our kids? That God is faithful and that his faithfulness demands a response. And that response is loving trust in Jesus Christ. So if we looked at Joshua, this would be a bit of a kind of a failure of a sermon series if we taught all the message of Joshua and we only left you with the idea that God is fighting our battles and is amazing. That would be a really good series, but it would be only half the story. So we have to give it to you the way it's written, which is the bulk of the weight of the story itself says that amazing God who fights every battle demands a response. That's why he says, I've given you the land as your inheritance. You need to go in and claim it. That's why Joshua's final words to a faithful nation, soon to be faithless, is remember that God is faithful to his promises and be careful and faithful yourselves. The weight of the story demands our response. It's what Malcolm started the series with, all of God and all of us. And yet we rest on the faithfulness of Jesus on the cross. We were not able to do it ourselves. Joshua says to his people in his farewell address, and we read it today, once again impressed that a love so amazing and so divine demands my soul, my life, my all. Amen.